Welcome to Season 3 of The Commons, a podcast featuring researchers, innovators, artists, entrepreneurs, and community builders who are improving the human condition in your own backyard and around the globe. I'm your host, Tom Osha. If you've listened to any episode of this podcast, you do know we focus a lot on innovation districts, the spatial geographies where talent and ideas come to cluster and connect. The Association of University Research Parks is a member-driven organization, and it counts among its membership research parks and innovation districts across the globe who have as their anchor research universities and academic medical centers. This robust organization of several hundred districts comes together once a year in a different city around the world to exchange ideas and best practices in the industry. This year, they're in Toronto, Canada for the 2022 International Conference. They were kind enough to invite the Commons to come and speak with some of their members. So our first episodes of Season 3 will be interviews with park leaders from around the world. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Commons, coming to you live from the Association of University Research Parks 2022, the international conference being held this year in Toronto, Canada. I am Tom Osha, and sitting across from me is Derek Newton. He is the Assistant Vice President of Innovation, Partnerships, and Entrepreneurship for the University of Toronto. Derek, welcome to the Commons.
Thank you. Great to be here. Great conversation. Welcome to Toronto.
I appreciate the welcome. This is, I think, my sixth trip this year. The thing that's really most impressed me on this trip has been the conversations that we have really had about the importance of really what is part of your title, right? Innovation, partnerships, and entrepreneurship. So I know it's a mouthful, but it's probably an important mouthful.
Well, absolutely. So here at the University of Toronto, we've really combined three key areas that helps us innovate, helps us do wonderful research, helps us commercialize that. On the partnership side, any given time we work with about 300 corporate partners. They come to us to help us solve technical problems. They want to meet interns. They want to co-create intellectual property. And it really enriches the research mission here at the University of Toronto. We also, on the innovation side, we are the tech transfer office of the university. We manage the IP portfolio. So many of the companies come to us and they want to access IP that's been created here. They want to co-create that IP. We want to take it the next step further. And then the third part of that is the entrepreneurship. Startup companies. Right now at the University of Toronto, we've got over 10 incubator programs that support our students, our entrepreneurs. University of Toronto, we're a very large institution. We work across three campuses. And so for our entrepreneurship programming, regardless of what physical location our students are at, regardless of what subject they're studying, from medicine to engineering, there's a program here for them. Everything from early stage ideation to our creative destruction lab, which helps accelerate companies into venture and into the marketplace. So when corporate partners come to the University of Toronto, what we're finding now is they want to work with us across all three of those domains. I want to do some research. Is there any IP we can co-develop? And can you introduce me to the startups, or could we end up creating some startups here? So how we've reorganized ourselves is putting all three of those areas into one domain. And so when a corporate partner comes to us, we can give them a seamless experience across three key areas that they want to interact with U of T.
It's one thing to have the experience that's kind of curated by you and your office and team. It's another to have physical proximity. Probably amplifies all of the work that you're doing, which probably plays into the importance of Mars, where we're sitting today, or Swartz-Riesman that's going to be coming up across the street. So talk a little bit about how place is allowing you to maximize the programs.
Well, Tom, you're no stranger to Toronto and the buzz and the excitement and how this is a global-minded city. People from around the world come here. They feel welcome here. They can speak their language here. Whatever foods that they're missing from home, they can find it here in Toronto. And that's absolutely true of the University of Toronto. Extremely large international population of students come here. They invent. They bring their ideas. They bring their passion. And the companies are coming here because of that. So this Mars facility that we're in now is absolutely full. So the university, we're creating a building across the street, the Schwartz-Reisman Innovation Campus, with even enhanced space for corporate partnerships, for our startups to grow and expand and scale and stay here. And so many of the companies that launch from U of T, they want to stay connected to U of T. They want to access the talent coming out of the university. They want to access the IP. They're still connected to the research program. And the companies want to be here for all the same reasons. They want to co-locate with the companies, the startups, but they also want to be still plugged into the energy, the enthusiasm, the innovation that's happening here at the university.
How large is your operation, your office? Because this sounds like a very hands-on, high-touch way of partnership.
We are a small but mighty team compared to the size of the university. We're an extremely large institution, 90,000 students across three campuses. Our Times Higher Ed ranking places us top 20 in the world. Yep. As a public institution, we're top 10 in the world. So in my office, we have a small but mighty team that does business development. We actually just launched last year what we call the Blue Door Service. The University of Toronto, our favorite color is blue. Yep. So the Blue Door Service is a concierge treatment that a corporate partner can come. We're so large, three campuses, multiple faculties. How do they have a technical problem and they want to find the right researcher or the right team that can help them out? So there's probably 6,000 faculty members here at the University of Toronto. We work with them, understand their needs, listen to what they're looking for, and then we'll give them a concierge treatment at the university. We'll work with them, we'll curate meetings, we'll introduce them to facilities, even our startups. And many of them get so excited, they want to talk about space, location, and then we can work with partners here in the City of Toronto to assist with that too. So we do our best to give them a great concierge experience into the very big, fast-moving place that's the University of Toronto.
It's amazing that that concierge level of service really does emanate in the form of more multidimensional engagements, right? They find more that they want to do. My guess is that also helps in areas like development and philanthropy, probably academics, certainly in hiring.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think a great example of how we've seen a lot of relationships start a little smaller and then grow into something much more impactful. We were doing a number of work in neuroscience. We launched a neurocatalyst program with Janssen. Janssen is part of the Johnson & Johnson family. Yep. And in part because they had now their scientists and leaders coming here as part of that program, Toronto opened their eyes and the University of Toronto, and they saw the opportunity. And that spawned a number of conversations that eventually led to the J Labs at Toronto being launched here in the Mars facility, partnered with the real estate operation here at the University of Toronto. And to date, over 94 companies have been launched and put through that program here in the city. But it's a great example where a sponsored research program here at U of T led to a much more meaningful engagement, now spanning into commercialization, entrepreneurship, and launching new companies.
So I'm sure our listeners are probably leaning back and going, this sounds too easy, right? In a large public university, there's a lot of bureaucracy. There's a lot of people that can say no. How has this been accepted in what I'll call the inner workings of the university, the academy, and all of the compliance and governance hoops that sometimes get in the way of being able to do meaningful partnerships with companies?
So it's a great question. I would say one of the things that I found works best with the partnering is to get the partner, the company, to bring their research scientists here to the university. And then we'll also find the right research scientists here at the university to meet with them. The not-so-secret sauce here is you put these talented researchers in a room and they generally will get each other excited about amazing things they can do together. And then the role of my office is to keep that conversation going, kick doors open when they need to be kicked open, and really make sure we try and give them, as part of the Blue Door, a very seamless contracting or other type of process to make sure we move that as quickly as we can.
So with all the success that you've had, I'm assuming you're kicking in fewer doors today than you did a couple of years ago probably?
We've done enormous work here at the University of Toronto on turning reducing our contracting times. We have standard templates. Those are on our website. We've provided workshops. We provide a lot of information to our researchers to let them know when you're working with partners, how do we keep that conversation going? How do we make this work? And so, and the university has really supported our ability to help resource and support those. In fact, we're right now writing a university professor's guidebook to working with industry, a step-by-step guide, tips on the contracts, the A to Z on how to make this work and go faster for the research community.
You have a young entrepreneurial faculty that really feels like they're buying into this, particularly in what we would call the life sciences, the engineering, and the technology, right?
Well, absolutely. I think so many, what we're finding today, both faculty and students and trainees, they want to see their work have an impact. It doesn't have to be a commercial startup company and the economics that go with that, but they want to see their results have a positive impact on the world. That often means getting that information into the hands of an end user. That could be a community group, could be an NGO, it could be a company, it could be a company we created. But they want to see that knowledge make the world a healthier place, make the world a greener place, have an impact on policy. And so I think absolutely what you've said is correct, but I feel like it's the impact that so many here are looking for.
Well, that's part of the legacy of the university, isn't it? There's a museum, I think, right around the corner dedicated to the invention of insulin, right?
So last year, we celebrated the 100th year of insulin, which was obviously discovered at the University of Toronto, tested right here. The building we are in, Mars, is the former site of the Toronto General Hospital, where the first patient received insulin. So University of Toronto plus the hospitals, Banting and Best insulin, is just created a wonderful legacy of discovery. And then, you know, fast forward into the mid-80s, Jeff Hinton was doing some of the pioneering work in artificial intelligence. And fast forward to today, we're seeing that being applied in all sorts of ways as well. So it really is a legacy of discovery and impact.
Actually, a fun fact, one of my colleagues at Wexford, his great-great-aunt was one of the original ones that was part of the test here at the University of Toronto.
Wow. For instance. What a great connection.
Isn't that really cool?
Well, in fact, the Banting and Best buildings across the street, obviously named after Banting and Best, the co-discoverer of insulin, for the last decade have been repurposed for the innovation mission of the institution. The buildings themselves are well past their prime,
right.
Demolition ready, as some have described them. But they've been filled with startup companies, partners to the university in innovation. They're not fit for research labs anymore. And in fact, where the Best Institute was is now where the Schwartz-Riesman Tower is going up. So what a better place to inspire, encourage, and have a purposeful space for the next generation of innovators.
Right, the next 100 years of what's happening at the University of Toronto. Well, we could go on for hours talking about all that is happening in the institution, but the final question that I've been asking everybody, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten in life?
Many years ago, when I was preparing to do my PhD thesis, my defense, and move on, and graduate, obviously a nerve-wracking experience. My PhD supervisor at the time, he looked at me and he said, "Derek, these things are a slam dunk so long as you don't treat them like a slam dunk."
That is advice for business and life.
So don't treat anything like a slam dunk.
That's right. Put in the work, be present, show up. Certainly you can tell by what's been achieved here, it looks like a slam dunk. I know from the inside it is anything but. But thank you for coming, sharing part of the University of Toronto story, for making it look so easy, for hosting this year's AURP, and for sharing all of your knowledge with our listeners.
Thank you, Tom. Always a pleasure.
Oh, it's been a great, great conversation. My guest today has been Derek Newton. He is the Assistant Vice President of Innovation Partnerships and Entrepreneurship for the University of Toronto. This is The Commons. I'm Tom Osha, and we're coming to you from AURP 2022 in Toronto. The Commons is a production of Wexford Science and Technology, LLC. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests. To view additional material about today's episode or guest, submit questions or story ideas, or to learn more about Wexford Science and Technology, please visit www.wexfordscitech.com/insights. You can subscribe to The Commons on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I'm your host, Tom Osha. Thank you for listening.